witches!
Hi, hello, and welcome to A Court of Witches. Whether you're into witches, books, or some other random shit, we've got something for you. Find us on your favorite podcast streaming service every Saturday for a new episode.
Connect with us on social media for news and upcoming episodes. For all business inquiries, please email us at acourtofwitches@gmail.com.
See you at The Court of Witches.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to another episode.
Oh my
God. I about said of cryptids, and I was like, nope, don't say that because we ain't doing cryptids.
We're not doing cryptids right now. We are doing folklore / mythology.
Yeah. So we are traveling to the last two realms of Norse mythology.
Did we do Asgard already? No.
Okay, maybe we're not.
Two of the last three realms.
Don't worry. I'll just, you know, go back and double check and make sure.
Because there's nine, so there should be one number.
Yeah, we just did Norse creation stories, and then we went straight into, like, Jotunheim and Vanaheim, and then it went into Niflheim, Muspelheim, Nidvellir, and Alfheim.
Yep.
Now we're doing Midgard and Helheim. Okay, sorry. There's one more left, but Asgard's the biggest realm or the one with the most shit, so forgive me. Anyways.
So Midgard and Helheim. We didn't talk about it first to decide who was going to go first, so who's going first?
I can. I've been antsy all day, okay. So I'll do it.
You go.
Okay, so I have Helheim. Helheim is also known as the Realm of the Dead. And a lot of people get really confused about Helheim and Asgard because they're both basically afterlife locations. But it's really confusing about, like, who goes where and why. So, not Asgard.
And it's not Valhalla. Like, right. And it's not like heaven and hell type deal.
It's not
the same vibe.
It's just two afterlives. I was gonna say, is it similar? But
no.
Yeah, just two afterlives, basically. So Valhalla, which is something we'll talk about later, that's basically the resting place for people who die in battle. So that is their a great honor because they died fighting, which is huge in, like, the Norse culture. So, so basically this Helheim is the resting place for the majority of the dead. So it's not a place of punishment. It's simply a residence for the deceased. This location is for those who have died of illness, old age, or are considered cowards or dishonorably by the gods and goddesses, that they were sent here into the underworld, where they could never leave. There's actually another thing that I just saw, and it says the souls of those who drowned belong to goddess Ran, wife of the sea god Aegir, while the ones fallen during the battle go to Odin's Valhalla or Freya's Folkvanger. I think the other one, Freya's, is the, like, location where, like, the Valkyries go. Because I feel like Freya was, like, a big part in the Valkyries. Don't quote me, because I just saw that. Anyways. So, Helheim is the name is taken directly from the Old Norse word for hell, which means hidden. So it's literally just distant underground location because the ruler of Helheim is Hel, the goddess Hel. And we'll talk a little bit more about here in a second. So Helheim is a subterraneous place. It's positioned in the cold, dark north and is buried deep underneath one of the three roots of the world tree Yggdrasil. It is not a place of punishment again, but it is far from pleasant. This world is damp, dark, cold, dreary, and very misty. So there is a difference between hell and the Christian hell. So the Norse realm of the dead and the Christian concept of hell share a lot of similarities, but they're both realms of the dead and they're both located underground with concepts. But they have very little in common. So a lot of the old Norse sources weren't very clear about how someone ended up in the afterlife, but it is clear that if someone died, according to Norse belief, his departure was not in battle. It was not a reward for his moral behavior. It was more of, and it wasn't a punishment for his sins. It was basically how they died. So like if they had a valiant, wonderful kind of death, then they would go to Valhalla where they would be in paradise, basically. But it's basically like a living location. Like they still do the same thing that they did while they were living. They eat, drink, sleep, fight, and so on. It was just a continuation of life, but in like a different place is what a lot of like the old sources would talk about, I guess. So there was like a little it's one of the stories they actually describe. There's like a little description of Helheim and like how it started. And there's like a lot of different back and forth because a lot of people will think that it was, it's a part of Niflheim. It's not. It's like a lot of people think it's separate. While some believe that it's just like a separate, like another part of it. But according to this story by Snorri Sturluson, hell was casted into Helheim because Odin made her. So Odin forced Hel to go in there. But Hel, he cast into Niflheim and gave to her power over nine worlds to apportion all abodes among those that were sent to her. That is, men dead of sickness or old age. She has great possessions there. Her walls are exceedingly high and her gates great. Her hall is called Sleet Cold, her dish Hunger, Famine is her knife, Idler her thrall, Sloven her maidservant, Pit of Stubbling her threshold by which one enters, Disease her bed, Gleaming Bale her bed hangings. She is of half blue black and half flesh color by which she is easily recognized and very lowering and fierce. So that's basically what the hall where she resides and like what it looks like. So it's really weird to hear them like describe like famine is knife, disease is her bed kind of thing, because I feel like that's like the nine circles of hell.
Right.
So, but yeah, and some believe that disease is her bed. It suggests that there is no amount of sleep sufficient to relieve the weariness of the dead. Whatever that means. So there is something called the road to hell, which a lot of, there's some, I guess, like, stories about. They describe it as uncharacteristically detailed manner. The path one had to take to reach this realm, you had to go through darkness and mist. You would reach a river, the river of clinging swords and spears. Then one would have to cross the bridge, over that river to get closer to hell. After a while, the traveler would finally arrive at the wall or fence surrounding hell, which is called Hell Grinder or Fence of Hell. There was another fence called the Corpse Fence and another one for the Fence of the Fallen. Helheim was also guarded by a fearsome hound. This beast is Hell's Black Hound, chained up in a cave at the entrance to the land of the dead. This concept is similar to Greek mythology, so Cerberus, the three-headed guard dog, guards the entrance to Hades' underworld.
Girl, stop. Sorry. Huh. Have to interrupt for just a moment. Because you said what? Cerberus, and it made me think of this. We got a new game for our anniversary. We went to Target and like bought a bunch of games because we're who we are as people. You've seen the game, I'm sure, the board game Horrified, that's like all the different horror villains. It's got like Jason and it and like all the different horror villains.
Yeah.
They have a new one and it's Horrified Greek Monsters. We got it. It's fucking amazing. We've only played like three times. It's cooperative. So you play mm-hmm. together against the monsters. Fucking amazing.
Yo, that sounds like fun.
The like recommended beginner monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And we won the first time, but then the second time we chose a different monster. Like one of the ones we'd already played with and a new one. And we lost. Like it's hard. But like that makes
it. Is it a board game?
Because yeah.
Hmm. But maybe a board game you should get.
Like little
little people.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Anyway. Continue.
That'd be fun. Okay.
It is so fun. I'll
look into that. Let's see. There is a poet, not a poet, but a poetry, I guess. Poetic Edda is what it is. So the story begins with Frigg, or Odin's wife and mother of the loveliest and most beloved of all gods, Balder. Dreaming of her son's death, worried, Odin rode to Hel in search of the Volva, a prophetess who would explain Frigg's disturbing vision. In her prophecy, we learn a lot about the underworld realm. So basically, Odin came to Hel riding on Sleipnir's back, which I think is a horse with multiple feet. And then he rode down to Niflhel Deep, and then the hound he met, he came from Hel. He was bloody on his breast before at the father of magic. He howled from afar. Forward rode within, the earth resounded till the house so high of Hel he reached. So apparently the living could visit Hel, but if you're there, you couldn't leave. It's like you couldn't visit other locations. You had to stay there. So some sources claim that Helheim's location is within the Elder Realm. Excuse me, Niflheim. But the claim appears to be at a later addition after the influence of Christianity, of course. Along with Muspelheim, Niflheim is the oldest of the nine realms, so primordial land of ice, mist, and snow, where all life began upon the world's creation. So that's kind of why a lot of people think it came from them, but it really didn't. And Sturluson believed that because he said that it was the dark realm of Hel. So he believed that Hel's realm was within Niflheim. But there's no mention of it later within, like, other texts of it being within Niflheim. It's just specifically after Christianity, like, came to influence it. But the thing about it is Niflheim doesn't have anything to do with the dead. It's specifically just the cold and mists and all of that. So right. It doesn't really make any sense why it would be a part of that hell, but whatever. So Hel, or Old Norse for hidden, is the queen of Helheim. She's often referenced as a goddess because she is actually half goddess, half Jotun. Her parents were Loki. Dun, dun, dun. And the giantess Angerboda. So she is the sister to the world serpent. Yeah. She is the sister to the world serpent, Jormungand, and the great wolf, Fenrir.
We're going to talk about those in Midgard as well.
Yeah. Hold on. I have to switch my headphones because apparently my other things wanted to die. Anyways. So let's see. So one of the reasons why Odin goes to Avolva. I don't know if that's correct. It's got the two dots above the O, and I feel like it's O, like a, like how would the pronunciation be for that if the O had two dots above it?
I feel like that's when it's like the yo, because
Viola, Viola. Oh, wait, think about, oh no, I was going to say, like, think about the fjord, but the J is in front of it. I don't know, but goes to an enchantress, a seer basically, and is told that Hel would open its gates and unleash the dead upon the world of the living. Her army of the dead will embark on the ship, famously built of the fingernails and toenails of the dead. Ew. Hel and her army will then set sails for the vast field of Vigrid. There, the final battle of Ragnarok will take place. And you know, we don't know much about Odin at this point, but I think it's funny because, what is it? She is cast into this realm to be the ruler of it by Odin. Like, Odin forced her out of Jotunheim to go here and live here and, like, be this, what is it?
It's
I'm learning Korean. The sound is different. So that's throwing me off. So anyways, so she was forced out of Jotunheim to come here and live and go over here because of Odin. But I feel like Odin doesn't, like, the shit he does literally sets in stone Ragnarok. Like, the precautions that he takes, the things that he does, I think it's like, bruh, you're, like, setting everything in stone. Like, you're forcing it to happen. Like, right? Okay, you lost me out the rest of this.
Voldemort.
Oh, yeah. The, like, what you're doing is just fucking everybody over. So, and here's the funny thing. She also had a couple of, like, huge decisions to be made during, a lot of her, like, during her, like, realm, not her realm, but her rule. So after Baldur died, due to Loki's mischief, the gods mourning deeply sought to retrieve him from Hel. Upon their plea, Hel was like, here's a condition. Baldur would be released if all things living or dead wept for him, and so the world wept, save for one, a giantess suspected to be Loki in disguise, who refused. Thus, Baldur remained with Hel, solidifying the tragic event that would lead to further tensions among the gods. So, if Odin would have just, I don't know, controlled Hel, Baldur could have lived. And the tension between the gods wouldn't have happened, but, you know, whatever. And I wonder if the giantess was Angerboda, like, to be quite honest. Like, I kind of, like, it's talking about a giantess. Some people suspected it was Loki in disguise, but, like, what if it wasn't? Like, what if it was, like, Angerboda? It doesn't specifically say, but...
Part of me wonders if all of Norse mythology isn't just Loki in disguise.
He's a fucking trickster, bro. Listen, a girl that I work with, Hannah, like, 1 minute, something will be, like, right there in front of her, like, playing his day, and the next is fucking gone. And then she will just sit there and be like, what the fuck, Loki? But, like, we give her all the snake skins because she gives it to Loki for, like, an offering. And she goes, it's just so he doesn't fuck with my shit. And I was like, nah, man, I don't think he gives a fuck. I think he's going to do it anyways.
Right? That's, like, kind of his vibe.
Right? And as sad as it is, like, I like the trickster thing. Like, I like playing, like, it's like the back and forth banter. It's playful. I like that. So I enjoy Loki. I honestly, like, come on. But Hel obviously played a major role in Ragnarok, and we'll get more into Ragnarok later, but
yeah, that's a whole episode in itself.
Yeah. But her role is huge. So she leads the army of the dead and marches them against the gods. She reunites with her brothers and other forces of chaos to bring Ragnarok upon, you know, Asgard. This battle signifies, you know, the nature of Norse myths, like an end. Also has the beginning, so like the circle of life, basically. Hel's participation, though, kind of underscores her importance because it's reminding of like all of her dominion over life's final passage. So then it's like, well, how are you going to die? Are you going to go to Hel, be with her after she made like ended you? Are you going to fight? Hey! Your mom's busy right now, Chaos. Get out of here. She's like, but mom, Emily said chaos, and I just had to show myself. But yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of other things, but, about her, but mainly she is a very, very important in, like, the role for Ragnarok and in just in general. Like, I mean, she gives Loki vibes, to be honest. She's not necessarily considered evil either. She's more neutral, embodying both life and death because of, like, her half and half face. Like, half of her is, like, blue-black, so she's kind of, like that corpse dead-looking and then, like, the living part of her. What is it? But she's, like, prophesized to lead the end of Ragnarok, not necessarily to like be the power changing force, but she had brings on one of the parts of it. So yeah. And that's Helheim in Hel. All
right. Midgard is going to sound real familiar to everyone because Midgard is where the humans live. It is also referred to as Middle Earth.
What is it called? And, Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, right. So I'm going to kind of go over some stuff we've already talked about a little bit because it talks about, we talked about this in the creation myths. The gods killed Ymir, rolled his body into the central void and made Midgard. He um, his body or his flesh became the land. His blood is the oceans. His bones are the mountains. His teeth are the cliffs. His hair is the trees. And his brains, which were blown over the earth, became the clouds.
That's so fucking weird.
And then his skull was held up by the four dwarves, Nordri, Sudri, Austri, and Vestri, which are the four points of the compass. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. As far as the the name just went out of my fucking head. What's the tree called?
Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil. The location on Yggdrasil. Midgard is about halfway between Niflheim on the north and Muspelheim to the south. And it is attached to Asgard by way of Bifrost, which is the Rainbow Bridge. Thor has a strong connection to Midgard and is often described as the protector of Midgard because Thor has a thing. He has a hero complex. He has a thing for saving people.
All right, Harry Potter.
All right. I'm going to try to say this, but there's two different names for this creature. And one of them, Emily has already said, but the other name is Mjögurstormr. It's the Midgard worm. It's the worm. The big worm? Serpent.
Oh, Jormungandr?
Yeah. Jormungandr.
Yeah, Jormungandr.
Yeah. Well, there's another name for it, but it's fucking crazier to pronounce. And I've never seen the other name except this one source. So. The worm, or serpent, for whatever you want to call it, Jormungandr, is the son of Loki with the giantess Angerboda, brother to Fenrir.
Oh, that's Old Norse.
Oh, okay.
Jormungandr is Old Norse for the vast Gand. It's the Midgard serpent, basically.
Yeah. This dude is Thor's ultimate nemesis. Odin saw what an issue or danger the creature was going to have and threw him into the deep sea. And he was smaller at this point. But when he threw him into the deep sea, he grew until he was like surrounding all of the lands and biting his own tail, kind of like the Ouroboros.
Oh, I love the Ouroboros.
But I also thought this was kind of interesting. I didn't actually write this down, but I thought about it because it says surrounding all the lands, and the Norse, like mythology is so old. I know it's not that old, but like, it makes me think of Pangaea, like,
oh, all yeah.
of the continents were one big piece, or we think they were, and like, so the snake was like around that. Anyway, it probably was more likely that it was just like around their island, but whatever. Okay, there's a story about the Midgard serpent. So there's the host of the god, which is Aegir. Anyway, he needs a cauldron big enough to brew ale for everyone. Tyr, the god with the missing limb that was torn off by Fenrir the wolf, knows of such an object at the end of the heavens where his father Hymir resides. But they get there and Tyr's mother hides them behind the cauldron to save them from Hymir because he does not like Thor for some reason.
I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like Thor.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't like Thor because he's a friend of humans and he doesn't like that for whatever reason.
Okay.
So he gives them bowls to eat for whatever reason. That's apparently what they were eating that day. It's fine. Ow! Freaking cat. But they ran out of food, and so they have to go fishing. And Thor uses the head of a black bull as bait and catches the Midgard serpent and hits him in the head with his hammer. And at that point, sorry, the cat just lost his fucking mind and is like running zoomies around the room.
He's like, oh my God, mom. Oh my God.
Yeah, he's freaking out. And so when he hits it with the hammer, the volcanoes erupt and the earth trembles and the snake goes back into the water and somehow Thor gets the cauldron by breaking the giant's cup and then escaping. Then there's the creation of the actual humans, which, again, we kind of already talked about. One, there's three gods, Odin, Vili, and Ve. Or Ve. Ve? I don't know.
I think it's Ve.
Ve. They're walking along the seashore, and they come across two pieces of driftwood. One was an ash, the other was an elm, and they shaped the ash into a man and the elm into a woman. And then this is like the three fairy godmothers. The three gods each gave special gifts to their new creations. Odin gave them spirit. Vili gave them intelligence and movement. And Ve gave them like their appearance and senses. Much like Greek mythology, the Norse gods are all up in the affairs of humans. They're like, all up in there.
At least they're not in their pants.
Well.
As much as Zeus?
No. They're more up in their wars. The Norse gods are all about war.
Yeah, conflict. I can see that. Zeus is all about that dick.
And this is especially Odin, especially is all about getting up in the wars. And he is very influential in these wars because of the Valkyrie. One story, like specific story about Odin getting involved is he, there's these two young boys, one is meant to be king and the other one's not, but Odin likes the other one better. So he makes him king. Then these boys grow up and Odin's still the same age because he's a fucking god, right? And the grown-up boy that he made king is an asshole to Odin. And Odin's like, all right, fuck you then, and kills him. Well, he sees to it that he dies. So he probably has him killed. And his typical son, that guy's son, is made king. Another thing about Odin is that he recruits humans for his army of Einherjar, probably. So they're like training for eternity to fight alongside him and the gods when Ragnarok happens. And unlike Thor, who is like for the common man and like, you know, helping the normal people, Odin is all about the nobility. And then following in Thor's footsteps, his daughter Thrud is also, or Thrud, however you say it.
Thrud. Is also. You knew. You're like, damn, she's going to find out.
It's also all about protecting the humans. And why do you keep freezing? You're not moving right now. I don't know what's happening.
I don't have good internet right now.
Okay. Well, I can still hear you. You're just sitting here like this. Oh, now you're gone.
Because I am sitting there like this.
a little bit more. Now Ragnarok. Well, I guess I shouldn't go into Ragnarok. We're going to talk about Ragnarok later. But there's some stuff about Ragnarok with Midgard. Pop culture. Obviously, the most notable pop culture reference to Midgard is Middle Earth in J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series. That world was heavily influenced. Tolkien was heavily influenced by Norse mythology. Obviously, the name of the place itself. This one feels like a stretch to me, but they related it to Harry Potter, which features a hidden magical world within our own, similar to the concept of Midgard being a world where magic was all around the humans at all times. That feels like a stretch to me, but whatever, man. Well, it's fine.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
And then there are other fantasy series. It's a lot of fantasy series that use it, obviously. Chronicles of Narnia has a Midgard-ish, like, parallel universes kind of theme. It's in God of War, The Elder Scrolls.
It's a good time in God of War.
Now you're, like, cutting out audio, but...
It's a good... I'm just kidding. It's a good time in God of War.
The more we talk about it, that game, the more I'm like, I really fucking want to play that, but I can't because they don't have it on the Switch.
Ugh. You have to do the beginning, though. You have to... Here, you know what? I'm going to look this up. They don't have
it
on the
Switch. I already looked it up.
Where to play God of War?
And then, obviously, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they call it just Earth, but it is Midgard, which is the realm of the humans. And that's all I got. That's all I got for Midgard. So, you're welcome.
If you want to play God of War, it's basically on PlayStation 4. I have an extra one that I can send you.
What the fuck?
Yeah, when Will and I got together, he had his PlayStation and I had mine. And we even considered, we were like, you know, maybe we should consider just like getting rid of this one. And then Austin, I shouldn't have said his name. Will's nephew was like, hey, yo, do you want the PS5? Like, it's just being a paperweight. Like, I don't even use it. I'm on my PC majority of the time. And I'm sitting there like,
yeah,
I do. I didn't say it to him. I'm in the background, like, while Will's talking to him. I'm like, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We want it. If he's going to give it to us for free, we want it. And Will's like, nah, man, we don't need it. Shut the fuck up. We need it. That means we can get rid of both of our PS4s. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, if you had a gaming computer... You can play it on Steam.
I just have a normal computer.
Okay. If I have to send you the PS4, we will fucking figure it out, okay? God damn it. Okay. Anyways, bye. Until next time.